Maybe that daily trip you take seems the same all the time. Grip the wheel, stay between the lines, don't hit anything, and arrive safely. But all the factors that contribute traffic to the route you travel will change the route over time, and it is the job of the transportation planners to consider what to do with the roads in the years to come. ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, is in the middle of long-range corridor plans for a pair of major Rogue Valley highways. State Highways 140 and 99 are the ones involved. Today's guests are well acquainted with plans and process. From the Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, we have Gary Leeming, Public Information Officer. Gary, welcome back to The Exchange.
Good morning.
And we have Ian Holliker, who's a planner and specifically the 99 Project Program Manager. Ian, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's start real general. When ODOT talks about corridors, what do we mean here?
Well, corridor plans are corridors are obviously something that's linear in the sense of 99 or 140. We're talking about from point A to point B. And really what they are is a roadmap, trying to determine a roadmap for future projects down the road and finding that balance between what are those projects, between, you know, keeping traffic moving, trying to accommodate bicycles and pedestrians, freight movement, and that kind of thing. So it's trying to find that balance on a roadway and in particular in our area.
Is there a 5 or 10 year
It's a 20-year plan.
20-year?
Mm-hmm. It's a 20-year plan. And typically that's kind of our vision and our goal when we look at corridor plans, and what we're looking at is the operations and the livability of that plan to be, you know, shelf ready for 20 years. So,
with 140 in particular, you've had a bunch of some horse trading actually with bits of road over the years in jurisdiction, haven't you?
Right, with Jackson County, and so the 140 corridor plan runs from exit 35 there along I-5 east to Brownsboro. And so the trade you speak of is between White City and I-5. And so Blackwell Road, Kirtland Road, we traded with Jackson County for those roads. And in turn, they took up some frontage roads along I-5. In addition to that was the Tiller Trail Highway in Jackson County.
And so is there a plan to build some new segments to give 140 an actual direct connection to Interstate 5?
Right. So the 140 plan has been in the works for about 4 years, and we've had Jackson County, various stakeholders looking at that. And so there's various segments that have been chosen as part of this plan to, when we have money, to kind of program where those projects will be. And the first one is from exit 35 to Blackwell Road, right where, say, the Knife River plant is. And if you've driven that, it's there's a lot of trucks. It's just it's old 99, dating back to prior to the mid-50s. And so it's crooked, lots of freight. It's also along an area where a lot of people are riding bikes. And so the plan is, and this is in the 2015-18 capital improvement program, is to straighten that out and provide two lanes in each direction, a center turn lane, and then wide shoulders for pedestrians and bikes.
It must be a real trick, though, to try to coordinate plans from one corridor to the next, because you also have things going on with Highway 62 at the same time. Highway 62, running north out of Medford in the general direction of Crater Lake, hooks up with Highway 140 on the way to Klamath Falls, and so you've got to figure out what the one corridor plan's going to do to affect the other, aren't you?
Right, exactly. So, you know, as you know, on Highway 62, we have an expressway project. The first phase begins in 2015. And this corridor plan also on 140 also dovetails with a larger plan, which is to upgrade Foothill Road on the east hills of Medford and tie in from Quarry Road across to 140 and over to, I believe it's Antelope. So it's all part of a plan. And so you have to have a plan to get somewhere. And so to do some smart financing for your plan, since resources are tight, you want to be able to maximize those dollars and look for ways to leverage some of those dollars with the private sector.
Well, all right. Now we get to the money part, which brings up the question I already had written down here, which is: did you have to arrange this, Ian, in something like a wishes versus what we actually have to spend? Kind of
correct. List? You know, taking a look at what are we going to get for the best bang for the buck? What's going to be, you know, last for the next 10, 15, 20 years? Hopefully, you know, looking at our current volumes, where they're going to be, what's going to make sense overall, especially when we're looking at the usage of the roadway. If it's heavily, like 140, heavy in freight, we want to look at straightening out some of those corners for the freight industry, widening the shoulders for 99, taking a look at the overall picture with transit, with pedestrians, with bicyclists, as well as freight and automobiles. I mean, obviously the road is built for automobiles and trucks, and facilitating those movements for the next 20 years is increasingly important. So we have the STIP, Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. So we look at identifying those projects, programming them, finding the dollars to go behind them, and then start implementing it over a period of time.
Yeah, the STIP is a fancy way of calling it your capital improvement program for the future. And like Ian said, the corridors are different.
Very different when you think about the fact that one has a parallel I-5 and the other one doesn't.
Right, exactly. So 140 carries a lot of freight. And as you said, a lot of folks go from White City, Klamath Falls over to I-5. And then 99 is Old Pacific Highway, predates I-5. And so, but it's also the main street for a lot of these communities in our valley, Talent and Phoenix and South Medford. And so the plan's intent is to maximize the use of Highway 99 and look for ways where it's deficient, and certainly it is in many respects. Look for opportunities to keep traffic moving, but allow for safer passage for bicyclists and pedestrians and for motorists as well. And so it's all trying to find that balance and what can we do with those limited resources, as Ian said, to get that bang for the buck, that best bang for the buck, as we look at our capital improvement program for the next 20 years.
We're talking about corridor plans for Highways 99 and 140 in the Rogue Valley with Gary Leeming and Ian Holliker from ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation. You can join us on the exchange. Phone numbers here, 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We should be clear when we talk about 99 because it does run from the California state line to the Washington state line. We're just talking about the corridor where, Ian Holliker?
We're actually just talking from Garfield Street in South Medford down to South Valley View, which is just south of or north of Ashland.
All right. So basically from exit 27, is it, down to exit 19?
Correct.
Right, exactly.
That's the parallel section of Interstate 5.
Right. And some of the things that the team has come up with this corridor plan. By the way, the draft plan is out and it's available on the website. And there is an open house on this plan scheduled for later this month. And when is that?
That would be July 24th at the Jackson County Fire District Number 5 headquarters, which is right outside of Talent.
Just north of Talent on 99 itself.
On 99.
So you have to travel on 99 to get to talk about 99.
You do have to travel on 99 to get there.
All right. So the open house is Tuesday, July 24th at the Fire Hall at 4 o'clock, 4 to 7.
4 to 7.
Right. Just a drop-in open house. And, you know, Jeffrey, when we came in, the first thing you spoke to us about was road diet. And
off the air, but yes, that was the term I did bring up.
Well, exactly. And that's what, you know, a lot of people, they see red when they hear road diet because we're reducing the lanes to that. But in some areas, that makes some sense. And not all of them, not all of 99, but in one area in particular, as I was mentioning, was between Phoenix and Talent. You have Highway 99 is two lanes in each direction, very little, if any, shoulder. You have people who are riding bikes, who are walking on that section. But more importantly, you have a lot of homes in that section and some businesses. And so, for instance, say if you're trying to get to that area and you have to make a left turn, where are you going to sit? You're not going to sit in a safety refuge or a center turn lane. You're going to be sitting in the fast lane and hoping, for instance, if you're going down to the animal shelter down in Talent and with your family to pick out a pet, that you're not going to get rear-ended by someone, you know, traveling the 55 miles an hour who's not paying attention. Maybe they're texting or whatever. So there's a safety element in and I call it a three-lane safety section. Road diet is kind of become, in the vernacular, what that is.
That's the second time you use comb fingers to talk about road diet.
Well, we talk about road diet, and it is. I mean, for instance, you know, it's not going to be four. It wouldn't be four lanes in each direction. It would be one lane in each direction with a center turn lane and then wider shoulders. And so part of that is finding that balance. I mean, if you want to make time on 99, you have I-5. Get on I-5. Mm-hmm. So
the interesting thing, too, with the three-lane road section is that it's going to operate not only safer, but it's going to be more efficient. So rather than having folks line up behind somebody who's trying to make a left-hand turn, which, by the way, we're seeing two-thirds of our crashes either be left turning related or rear ending related crashes.
Two-thirds, really. Wow.
So 75 to 78 crashes a year. Mm-hmm. And that number has steadily climbed over the last 4 or 5 years to the point where Garfield in 99 is one of our top problem intersections. But the fact that you're getting folks either into the refuge lane, you know, on the wider shoulder, taking a right-hand turn so they're not in the way. They're in the left center turn lane, making a left-hand turn. They're out of the way. Again, folks are able to get where they're going a little bit safer and a little bit quicker at the same time. The problem is that lead dog is going to go as fast as, you know, as they want. So you're kind of stuck behind that lead dog. But at the same time, you know, if you're looking at 45 versus 55, you're not talking a huge amount of time that you're, you know, arriving at your destination.
Right. It just feels slow if you're not the person in front.
Correct.
You're not the lead
right.
dog.
And it's not all of the corridor. For instance, between South Medford and Phoenix, it's currently 5 lanes. So the idea behind the plan is to maybe narrow the lanes, keep it 2 lanes in each direction, have that center turn lane, but have enough room to install sidewalks and bike lanes. Having driven 99 frequently in that area, I know that there are people who are walking on the side of the road. There are people on bikes, in motorized scooters coming from, say, in this one instance, I was talking to a gentleman who lived in Medford Estates, and he was in a motorized scooter, basically taking the lane up. Mm-hmm. And so for folks who aren't paying attention, you know, he could be rear-ended very easily. There's not a safe refuge for him. Those that are paying attention have to slow down and then merge over into the other lane. So it's not every section of Highway 99 and between Medford and Ashland has a little different character. And so, you know, working with these local governments who have been part of this plan to begin with, you know, we're trying to find that balance for Main Street and that you know, what does 99 look like in the future?
Let us take a call. We have Dave and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Gary Leeming and Ian Holliker from ODOT.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm actually just getting off the I-5 on exit 27.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. When you built this grand exit, which, by the way, is very beautiful, there was, for a moment, it looked like you were going to have two exit 27s, maybe like an A and a B. Which I thought was brilliant, and then you paved it over, or I should say, you dug it up, and I was wondering why you did that.
All right, so you're thinking there was going to be still an exit at Barnett Road in addition to the Garfield exit?
Right. Well, I found myself, first of all, getting stuck a lot in the traffic on 27 as I get off, especially about an hour before this with St. Mary's traffic. Mm-hmm. There's usually a backup. It's pretty predictable. And often I want to get off closer to the old exit, and I have to go around, and so I'm spending more time driving and looping around. And so I'm sure somebody over there thought it was a good idea to do that, and I'm wondering what the logic was because I don't see it.
Okay, thanks for that, Dave. Appreciate it. Was it ever considered to keep the Barnett ramps open in addition to the Garfield ramps?
It was, but it was quickly disregarded. Federal Highway has rules on interchanges. You know, thou shalt not have partial interchanges. If you recall, there was a big debate whether to keep the northbound on-ramp there by the Dairy Queen as a partial interchange. And you know, aside from the, you know, the federal regulation that we were dealing with, it also posed a problem for traffic because you had traffic not only getting on, say, on the old interchange heading northbound, but you also had the new traffic. And so you had this merge weave issue there. So it was looked at. It was part of the environmental impact statement. It also provides, by having that single interchange there at exit 27, it also makes Barnett function as more of a local connector for local traffic, for bikes and peds, instead of mixing up that interstate traffic with that. And also provides certainty for the driver as well. And that is probably the main reason Federal Highway has determined that thou shalt not have partial interchanges or interchanges so close together where you have that confusion.
All right, Dave, thanks for that question. We have about 2 minutes left. I just want to be clear. So when we were talking about potentially doing some reallocation of lanes on 99, then between South Medford and North Ashland, I mean, would it be done the whole way through or just in certain segments?
No, we're specifically looking between Phoenix and Talent. Mm-hmm. and where we do have a lot of conflict, a lot of turning related accidents, a lot of rear ending accidents, and then eventually from Rapp down to South Valley View, that would be a 3-lane section as well.
Bicyclists will really thank you for that. Yes, because I will not take a bicycle in either one of those sections for just the reasons you mentioned.
Well, I'll say, you know, we've had quite a bit of feedback from the bicycling community regarding these sections, and having rode it myself, it's somewhat disconcerting when you have a 53-foot truck behind you gearing down because you're in the lane. You know, you want to get out of the way pretty quick. Now, between Phoenix and Talent, it's a little bit more comfortable, but definitely it's not as comfortable as it could be.
And so you mentioned, have there been extensive discussions with the cities about what their desires are for these stretches?
And that's kind of what led to the 3-lane sections, is specifically with Talent. We were looking at a 5-lane section, sidewalk, curb, gutter, 5 lanes all the way through, and they said, that's really not, doesn't fit in with our character with what we're looking at.
Yeah. The other thing, these aren't going to be, hey, we have a plan, we have all these possibilities, we're going to go fund them all. As funding becomes available, we'll probably start knocking them off one after another. So it's like I said, it's a roadmap for future funding possibilities.
Quite literally, yes. Yeah. So it's not, we finish the corridor plan, it gets approved by the Transportation Commission, bam, everything happens at once. You take it as the money's available.
Exactly.
All right, so the open house again is going to be July 24th, Tuesday, at the District 5 fire station on Highway 99, just north of downtown Talent, right near the animal shelter.
Correction,
4 o'clock
Thursday.
To 7 o'clock. Is it Thursday?
Thursday, not Tuesday.
All right. Very good to get that correction there. All right. So July 24th, again, District 5 and 4 to 7 p.m. to get a look at the plans for 99.
Okay.
Ian Holliker and Gary Leeming, thank you so much for joining us
from
ODOT. Good to have
Thanks.
You.